with great slides today that Kathy put together. She actually put those slides together to match with the song that was sung and gives a lot of honor to the Lord. And the topic after those slides should be Earth, you know, full of the glory of God. And it's part of the message, heaven, strength for today and our home for tomorrow. The Bible says, set your heart on things above where Christ is seated. Set your mind on things above. So it gives a definite direction to our thinking and our affections toward God. And when that happens, all kind of reprioritizing of our soul takes place, and we actually experience life as God meant it to be. Having our mind toward heaven brings great results. Fred Harburg is a instructional pilot for the United States Air Force. He teaches young guys how to fly the big machines, and you know they do such a great job at that. Fred's a committed Christian. He's also an organizational consultant. He understands how good groups of people work together. He did work for Disney, AT&T, and a bunch of other places. And Fred says one of the first things he tries to teach young pilots is that multitasking does not make you a good pilot. It makes you a very poor and dangerous pilot. Okay, and he says, the best pilots have a single focus with rapid actions to follow, one step after another, each step being very important, but doing the one step at a time keeps the focus and the safety of the pilot in line. And so focused attention for the pilot, moment by moment, is a definition of excellence and efficiency for a pilot. Multiple focuses bring danger. Now, if you want to test this out for yourself, driving home from church today, as you drive, talk on your cell phone, reach for a Kleenex, change the radio station, and drink a cup of coffee, beep the horn at the guy that you don't like on the other side of the road, and do that all at the same time while going through the three signals lights from Walgreens to Teddy's, you see. Good drivers don't drive that way, okay? And the people who are effective in their life don't live that way. In following Jesus, if your mind is on two masters, you're going to wreck your relationship with God, and the other priorities in your life are going to be all chaotic or mixed up. And so Jesus said this, seek first His kingdom. Set your mind to Christ, seated in heaven. Begin there. Hebrews says, fix your thoughts on Jesus. That can make your other thoughts more in line and more sensible and orderly. Paul said, set your hearts on things above. That have your greatest affection toward God and heaven in the future. Jesus said this, I must be about my Father's business. So he was very focused. So heaven gives an eternal value to your life now. You're going in a certain direction. What did you do this week that will matter 100 years from now? Okay, with multiple focuses and multiple commitments, you will say, I don't know. You know, I don't know what counts and doesn't count. But if you live with the goal line in mind and with the end zone in mind, you're going to be going in a certain direction with some measure of intensity and gladness. And the Bible answer to the question, what did you do this week that will matter 100 years from now? God will say, everything. Everything will matter 100 years from now in terms of what you did, because that was a reflection of either embracing Christ or rejecting Christ. And it certainly has impact on all that you and I do. To have a single focus. Otherwise, we live our life, excuse the illustration, like Forrest Gump running for a touchdown. Okay, heaven for the believer is the end zone. Run towards the end zone. In the movie Forrest Gump, he played a game, and football game, and he ran this way, and then he ran that way, and everybody said, no, run this way. This is the point of it, you see. So you as a follower of Jesus, and I, heart on things above, where Christ is seated, mind, thinking of the point of our lives. not just the 90 years here, which is fantastic, but the trillions of years God has prepared, and he'd like to receive us to himself. So do you live for the next 90 seconds alone, or do you live for the trillions of years that God has placed in eternity before you and I? And so the Bible gives us heaven. For the Christian, Christ in heaven as a focus reveals Christ on earth more clearly. The Bible says that heaven is a place and also the presence of God. Some of the verses that Charlie read. Jesus said, I prepare a place for you. So that's a sure destination God would give us as a gift from his Son alone. He says, I'll come and get you and receive you to myself. Now, that's a fantastic comfort. Isn't it great? You don't have to get yourself to heaven because you and I can never make it. All the dear people around you, you know, if they were to try to push you into heaven, they don't have enough strength. Christ has the strength. He's the one sacrifice on your behalf. He's the Lamb of God who loves you. And he'll take you to himself. Put your trust in him. The other verse about heaven, the Lord guards your coming and your going now and forevermore. What a great comfort it is to know that the same Lord who will take you to heaven, the safe place with him, will take care of you tomorrow morning. He'll guard you now. And he'll guard you forevermore. And you're coming and you're going. No matter what state of life you're in. I remember preschool, sending the young ones off. Oh my, you know. They're not home for the first time in 3 or 4 years. What do we do now? First grade. You know, I remember back in the old days, my mom walked to first grade with me, walked into the class, you know, made sure I didn't run amok or run out. And you sit over there, and that's good. And, you know, there I was terrified for about 3 minutes. And then I actually liked what was happening. Guard your coming and your going. When we're in life, when we're absent from the body, when our life is done, present with the Lord because of Christ. Last breath on earth could be the first breath in heaven as a gift from God. Augustine said this about the focus of heaven helping life to make sense here. He said this, because of heaven, life on earth becomes more productive. You think of this. People who move toward heaven in their values are better citizens. They show greater respect for those who govern because they recognize Jesus is Lord of all. He's the governor, as it were, of the universe. They're more generous to the poor when you have a focus on heaven. You realize everything you have is a gift from God. It was meant to be enjoyed and shared. So you're more generous to the poor. They're better peacemakers who have their eyes on heaven because they know Christ, who's the Prince of Peace. And history shows that those who have the hope of heaven value education more, build universities, say, man, this is a fantastic universe. I want to learn about it. I want to throw myself into all these, you know, people I get to learn with. They build hospitals. They serve in medical ministry. They care for their neighbors. Body and soul. You know, somebody cares for you, how you're doing emotionally and how you're doing physically. And all that comes from, I know the value of life because God created it to be in a place with him forever. Wow, this is important stuff. Soul, very important. Spirit, body, very important. Jesus rises physically from the dead. So the point is this, from Augustine, get heavenly minded so you could be some earthly good. Get heavenly minded so you could be some earthly good. For a while, people said, don't be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. That was a rebuke to those who just, maybe they sang all the time and just had their nose in the book and did not, and they prayed, but didn't, you know, they'd pass you right by on the street, let alone help you. We take that rebuke. That's a good rebuke. But primarily in the New Testament, God says, get heavenly minded so you could be some earthly good. Have a focus and a point to your life. and move in that direction. And what health it brings to the soul of a person. All the great followers of Christ in history had a forward lean. And they said, I serve God 100% here, but my eyes are on the finish line. And I look at that as something to look forward to. Again, a gift from the Lord. Here's some points to keep in our souls, that heaven and earth have a lot in common. So we're gonna bring heaven in the realm of where we live. As one Bible teacher said, when Jesus was born, all heaven broke loose. Okay, now when you and I get frustrated, we say the other thing. You know, we say, it was bad, all, you know what, broke loose. It was. But when Jesus was born, all heaven broke loose. He said, I'm spreading my good news and proclaiming God's kingdom. What do heaven and earth have in common? God created them both. All things He created, and for His honor, they have their being. A tremendous testimony on the screen, just as Kathy sang. And then Jesus is present in both places 100%. This is something Christians miss out on. But the Bible teaches that as a plain fact. 100% in heaven, 100% on earth. Psalm 139, one of the kiddos had that as their verse. Who do I have in heaven but you? Earth has nothing I desire beside you. Which one had that? Are they here? Or maybe they left. Psalm 139. Okay. But to know the Lord, anticipated but in fellowship now. Heaven and earth are reconciled to God from Colossians. Well, that's a hard one to know, but it means that God takes the wrong and heals the wrong. Isn't that a great thing? A promise. Yeah, I know the difficulties are going to end. God says He's going to reconcile everything in heaven and on earth to Himself. Then another one, heaven and earth are full of God's glory. Again, there's not an inch where you and I travel that we can't say, God is here. This is wonderful in terms of our being with Him, and we're glad. And you know, the shadows come, and we can't see because of our own sin, or we're human beings, we get tired or emotionally wiped out. But the Lord doesn't change. He's there. He's there to be known and to be turned to. So God is there. By the way, about 55 of you put together a short testimony of your life, and those books are available for anybody after church today. They're just stories of saying, hey, Christ came into my life, and this is what He means to me. That does great honor to God. So get one of those booklets before you leave today. And then heaven and earth have something in common in that we want life here to be like life there. So again, the focus is on Jesus ruling. In heaven, yes, but in our souls, we want that. And in our actions and behavior. And one neat thing, too, about heaven and earth having something in common. People worship God fervently in heaven, perfectly, fervently on earth, imperfectly. But God takes that worship, too, and He says, amen for your heart being toward Him. So heaven is the point and the place and the goal for the Christian, because Christ is there. Now, when you focus on Christ in heaven, what are the results? Some important things that I think can get us straightened out here and help us. When you focus on Christ in heaven, that gets your relationships right. Get your relationships right. How important the Lord would help us with that. Ephesians chapter 2 says, Christ removes the dividing wall of hostility. Happens to be talking about between Jewish people and Gentile people. Okay, religious folks and pagan folks. God removes the wall of hostility. Christ does that. Only He could do that. So He can remove the wall of hostility you feel toward any other person on your end. Remove the wall of hostility between husband and wife. Christ can do that. Invite him in on that relationship. The wall of hostility between child and parent, or boss and worker, to know that, hey, you're in a battle together, to know Christ and let him be predominant in there. But thinking of heaven gets relationships right. Why do you think all the hospice workers and nurses and doctors, when somebody's going to pass, you know, they say, come on in the room here and say anything you really need to say to the person. Because this is, you know, you're not going to talk to him after today for a while. So say it to heaven. Gets relationships straight. And then heaven gets your worship right. Ecclesiastes says, hey, remember, God's in heaven. We're here. So we come to God with reverence and fear and awe and respect. Remember that about worship. Worship takes the selfishness, or rather, heaven takes the selfishness out of worship. We're saying God is in heaven. That's why we come. Worship becomes unselfish. It takes the focus off ourselves. For example, when you come to worship and you say, I come to worship to honor God. He's Lord of heaven and earth. And secondly, I come to help the guy beside me. That's why we gather, build somebody else up. And then thirdly, if I get anything out of worship, that's icing on the cake. Okay? Some of you just want the icing all the time for you. Now you come to worship to honor God, takes out the selfish factor, to help somebody else, which there's, you know, 200 opportunities to do so today. And then, if you're helped in any manner, good. You know, that's something God gave you a little bit of daily bread too. So, Jesus in heaven gets your worship right, gets the focus right. And here's a biggie, in a practical way for our country. Heaven gets your economics right. If you have economic problems, you know, like our nation does, or maybe your own checkbook in there. Heaven lets us know God owns it all. And we're to take care of it for Him. And what He gives us is gifts from Him, and we're to pass that on to others in some kind of generous, cheerful way. God loves a cheerful giver. That's Bible. And you store up treasure in heaven, and Jesus says, don't store up treasure on earth. Now, of all the countercultural statements Jesus ever made, this is a fairly big one. You know, store up treasures in heaven, don't store up treasures on earth. So I say, you and I can say, we want to be rich toward God. Let that relationship be the strongest, richest part of our life. So blessed just to know Him and follow Him. And as far as treasures on earth, when they come our way, we take good care of them and we pass them on, but we don't store them up. It's like, oh man, I'm going to have to change them. I got 5 pairs of sneakers at home. I only need 1 or 2, you see. Don't store them up. Go keep heaven in priority in terms of your economics. Someone said, hey, a nation of tithers won't find themselves in $16 trillion of debt. It's not going to happen, you see. But if other things are happening, then it throws the whole pot upside down. I remember as a young person, 8 years old, my brother's 10, we had a lot of free time, so we decided to take up shoplifting for a couple months. We had no need to do that. It was just to be rambunctious, and it didn't even throw us very much. But we said, we're going for the bubble gum and the paper clips and the rubber bands. Okay, that's what we're into. Bubble gum, paper clips, rubber bands. And we used the paper clips and rubber bands to shoot at cars when they went by. And so all that was there. And, you know, I was in a middle-class family. Had the food I needed and the clothes and a warm place to stay. Well, why would I steal from a grocery store? Why would I steal from a drugstore? Something very wrong with my soul. So Thank the Lord we got caught. Boy, best thing to get caught, you know, face the consequences. So I thought, well, that was just a little thing. But you know what that affected? That affected how I was with my parents, how I was with my friends. Couldn't hang around with some of the roughnecks anymore. How I, me and my brother walked together. It affected my health. I walked around with butterflies and a burden of guilt and all that stuff. Taking what's not mine, bad economics. Did you steal from anybody recently? Hopefully not at the grocery store or the drugstore, but do you steal from God? In terms of what He, you know, what He gave you, you might say, well, that's just a one part. But you know what? That's going to affect so much of your life, your economic house, how you are with Him, how you are with others, how you are with yourself. And Jesus said, you know, given it will be given to you. And God said in the Old Testament, don't steal from me. Don't spend your whole life. You spent your whole life stealing from God. You know, you're going to have heartache when you do that. So you say, I store up treasure in heaven. I say, to honor God with my life, my thoughts, my stewardship. And I want to follow Him. And God will bless an individual and a nation, for sure. And there's some more good things put in heaven in our focus. It sets our work to be more efficient. You have a job, a calling. And so someone joined you in your calling. If you work at Giant Eagle hired the Lord. And He's going to work by your side. He's going to be your partner at work. And all of a sudden you have a new outlook on your job. You say, this is great to do it with the Lord. And I feel like I have a little more energy, a little more patience with the people around me. And I'm more focused to the task. And I'm so thankful to be a part of it. You know, you co-labor with Christ, you're going to be a good worker. You work on your own, you know, who wants you? That's what's fun. Sad, 10% of our population, they go and the places say, we don't even want you. We have nothing for you. But work with Christ, you'll be a good worker. And then this one for our troubles. The troubles will come to an end. Focus on heaven strengthens us during suffering. There's an old saying from the early church, Christian Jewish followers of Christ. You know, they were Jewish in blood. They received the Lord. And they said, when the Messiah comes a second time, all suffering will end. And how true that is. You could put up with anything if you know it's going to end. My old custodian friend said, hey, toughest thing in the Christian life, first 90 years, after that you got it made. Okay, that's you toughing it out. And when the Messiah comes a second time, suffering will come to an end. Thank you, Jesus. You're like that. But they also said this, and now when there is suffering, the Messiah comes. In other words, when you're in a bad state, spiritually or physically or whatever, and there's suffering, Jesus will come and be very, very near to you. And so almost like heaven will move in on your trial. And you said that was the most painful time in my life, but I saw God work in an unreal way, you know, helps me trust Him, or at least His friendship and presence, and heaven breaks loose on you. Billy Graham said some of the most spirit-filled, godly people he knows are in wheelchairs, either temporarily or just something they have, because God gives them strength to handle life like that. The Messiah comes to them. And it's the focus on Jesus the victorious conqueror from heaven, setting your mind on Him, your heart on Him, will do your soul so much good. And in terms of relationships, the temporariness of them, we're glad to be walking as fellow pilgrims for a while. That's part of the blessing of a local fellowship, by the way. You think, where should I go to church? Hey, just go somewhere all the time. As we say, Jesus goes to church every Sunday. If you're a follower of His, how about you? So when you have to be apart from your loved ones for any reason, you could know that with Jesus, it's not goodbye, it's I'll see you soon, because you will be spending trillions and trillions of years with them. That's one of the great gifts of heaven. Trillions and trillions of years with Christ and loved ones with Him. And you say, now, what King of Kings would desire that? Jesus, the King of Kings. He wants that for your life. Would you trust Him if you've never done so? Say, yeah, I want to be with God forever, now and forever, on earth as it is in heaven. And God will do that for you. He loves you so much. Would you let heaven be the point of your happy life, difficult as it may be, on earth? Let's pray together.